Now, let's see. You've completed the book. You started the farm. You also founded the local small press, The Head and the Hand. I thought farming was a 24/7, 365 endeavor.
Well, I have to say, before we really get into it, is that I have a lot of help predominantly by my wife, who actually founded the farm in 2009. So,
and in fact, this book of essays reads a lot like Nick and Elisa's excellent adventure.
It's kind of like that, yeah, and it's been like that. I came on in 2011, and I'm just thankful that she has me working with her.
So for those new to the concept, you've described urban farming as the black sheep of the agricultural family. Explain.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, a lot of times, and I write about this in the book, you'll have people who will come in and they'll say, oh, you have a farm. And they look around. They're like, well, where is it? And it's right here on this quarter of a city block. And, you know, when we start dividing our farms up into fractions of acres, they don't take you as seriously. So urban farming, I think, has some stereotypes to get over. But, you know, at the end of the day, I say if you're feeding people with the food that you're growing, that it's not just you and your family, I believe that you're farming. And that's what we're doing there.
It sure didn't look like a farm when you and Elisa inherited it.
Not at all. It was pretty incredible what was dumped there. There was a VW bus, a lot of trash, a lot of overgrown weeds, you know, something that's kind of sadly enough, kind of par for the course in Kensington, which, you know, a lot of good people up there are trying to change.
So what was the task to make sure that there weren't toxins, for example, in that soil?
Well, we did do a soil test and we found that there were traces of lead. And we've had a lot of great technical support and help from the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society. They give us a lot of resources in turn for the food that we grow and get back into the community. So, you know, the farm really couldn't have happened without their support. We grow and raise beds, so we're above the soil. We're very mindful, especially because we do have a lot of kids that come in to the farm about making sure that we put a lot of wood chips down in the paths, making sure that soil isn't kicked up when people are walking around and doesn't get to the vegetables.
So you brought to that endeavor, one of your strengths is that of a former community organizer.
It's just basically, you know, seeing a need in community, and especially in Kensington, where there's such a lack of supermarkets, and be able to kind of fill that need. And then also just to bring community together. I always say that I think Elisa and I, one of our biggest strengths is we really like to throw a good party and have people over. And being able to bring community together with the activity of growing food for your neighbors is something really special.
Nick, it sounds like an equal measure, a book about food sustenance and social sustenance.
This is true. I'm really glad that you said that, because that's how I've been describing the book. Urban farming is kind of the context for just telling stories about the neighborhood. And there are a lot of characters that are worthy of telling stories about there.
Some of the characters have feathers.
Some of them have feathers. Yeah, we have chickens in our backyard. Not only do they provide eggs every day, but they provide it's a great conversation starter when somebody walks into the farm.
Is it a self-sufficient endeavor?
You know, I would say sustainable. You know, I think Elisa and I got it to a point where we are able to sustain it in our lives. So we both have full-time jobs, as you said. I also have the Head in the Hand press. So we have a lot going on in our personal lives. We have a six-month-old at home. So there's a lot going on. But I have to credit that with our community. When we first started this farming season in 2014, we went to our neighborhood association and just said, we need people more than ever to come out. We had a really good base of volunteers, but we were blown away this year with how many people. I mean, we're averaging 15 to 20 people coming out every Monday, all the kids having a great time. It's pretty great.
But back to your challenge, how do you juggle collards, chicken, and children?
So all the beauty of what happened this season at Emerald Street, this book is not about that. It's everything that kind of led up to what we have created and continue to create. You know, we still have our struggles. But beforehand, you know, the kids would be running around the farm acting kind of crazy, as kids do. And it would be a hard environment to want to grow food in, to find that piece of farming that some people find. So to be able to engage them, and again, it's having community out. So while I have Jarmel and Greg, who are doing Craftivity Hour with the kids, over the tomatoes, making sure they're nice and pruned and we're getting a good crop.
Of the two avocations, do you consider yourself primarily a farmer who writes or a writer who farms?
Yeah, you know, that kind of goes in a cycle, and it's sometimes, I guess it depends on the season. So right now in the winter, I'm definitely a writer who farms. But once the season kicks back in, I take a break from doing my articles. Hopefully all my writing projects are done and I kind of just concentrate on growing food. So like the seasons, I kind of go with it.
Well, farmer and writer Nick, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you very much.